mess, and you're here, and we're here, and it's messy. And the church is equal parts, mystery and mess. But what happens often is that we let the mess remove us from the mystery and the impact. And that's the challenge for us today. Now, let's just briefly look at this passage together. What's the first imperative that you see? What's the first instruction, or what's the first command that you see in this verse? Let me just invite you to speak back to me just in these moments, not any other ones, just these. Just what do you see as the first command? Consider. But before that, what's the key word? Us, already emphasizing away from this idea of individual Christianity. The Bible knows nothing of it, period, full stop. The Bible knows nothing of just me and Jesus and an MP3 sermon. Knows nothing of it. Let us, friends, let us. The first imperative, consider. When's the last time in your hustle and bustle to arrive at Christ Community, or even the night before, did you ever prayerfully pause and say, what is my disposition going to be like tomorrow when I enter the doors of my church family? Am I thinking prayerfully about my role? The first instruction is to consider, to think. To think about what? Well, here's the action. How can I arrive with the disposition to stir you up, to encourage you, to push you on, to see an area of need and pray with you and see how I might conserve that need, to grant you courage to persevere? That's the call. But now, in our definition, church is just attendance. We just come, we show up. We're not considering, we're not praying. We don't have an expectation that God in these moments is desiring to use me. Let us, friends, consider. Why is there no vitality maybe from time to time at Christ Community? I can't point the finger out there. It's got to come right here. Because on Saturday night, I failed to consider what it is for me to show up and spur you on. I just attend, preach my sermon, go home and eat my lunch. Let us consider. Let us step back and prayerfully before our Lord ask the question, what does it mean for me to be a vital member of Christ's community? There's an others focus, but finally, there's an eternal view. I'm to do this over and over and over and over again in the mess, when it's not so great, when Wyatt teaches Sunday school and I don't like what he said, in the mess and in the mystery, I'm to show up, always considering, what does it mean for me to spur you on until the day. We're going to do this together. We're going to persevere together until the day. There's an eternal perspective in view. And we're to do this together. So there's three considerations that I want us to make today. And I'll try to move through these quickly. Let me pray and then we'll get going. Lord, we thank you for our church family. And we pray that as a focus in 2020. And it's even convicting to say that. Like it's just for this year. I mean, this is the bride of our Savior. Forgive us, God, for a low view of church. Forgive us for a low view of my role as an instrument of your grace here. Forgive us for not considering. Forgive us for attending. So, Lord, call us back today. Yes, for 2020, but Lord, give us a deep conviction until the day. Until the day. And In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. So some considerations in light of Hebrews 10. Number one, the church helps me remember. If I'm trying to build a case for you, I want to win you here. The church helps me. The church helps us remember. I've heard it said that people need to be reminded more than instructed. I find that, on the whole, to be true. Yes, there's a period of instruction, particularly in the life of a believer, but I don't need to know anything more. I just need to put into practice what I already know. And when I show up here to my church family, I'm reminded, and I need to be reminded. Reminded of what? Of all things good. I need to be reminded of the good news. I need to be reminded that there is a sufficient Savior for my sin. I need to be reminded that my shame does not define me. I need to hear the words of pardon over and over and over again. So often we come to church just as a pupil. Like, this is school. It's not. I'm not learning anything. Well, be reminded. Be reminded. This is a real theme in the Bible. Those of you reading through the Bible in a year, possibly, or maybe close to Exodus. Moses, before handing over leadership to Joshua, and Joshua leading the people into the promised land, Moses gave a sermon. And his key point with them was remember, look back, recall, because if you forget, you will lose your way. And it is the same call for the church today. The very reason, or at least a central reason, that we have the sacraments, that we take the Lord's Supper every week, is because we forget. And what is the words of our Savior? Do this in what? Remembrance. What's the assumption of Moses? What's the assumption of our Savior? Is that you will forget. And His love is expressed to us in remembering. And the church, His bride, is there to bring back to us this good news so that I won't forget. Spotty attendance, a low view, leads me to drift, and it puts me in danger of forgetting. And you know what happens when I forget? When I forget, I start to create my own story about who I am. I start to define myself in ways that aren't altogether true. And I began to maybe have a view about you and about God and about myself that's just off because I'm forgetting. And when you forget, you drift. And when you drift, you create your own story. And we all know where that leads. How often have you sat in these very seats and in a moment in confession or hearing the words of pardon or in singing, you're reminded of a truth. And it just changes the way you think, maybe about yourself and others in the world. It happens a lot to me as I sit here with you. The church helps me remember. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, Satan hates Christian fellowship. And it's his policy, it's his business to keep Christians apart. Since union is strength, he does his best to promote separation. So, is there any reason that is good enough to keep you back from being reminded of the good news? I can only think of a few. The church helps me to remember. I like to think about it maybe as our weekly meals. So, growing up in the Cunningham home, Mama Cunningham, Gigi, as she was affectionately known, her soul's with our Savior now. Most every morning before school, she would put on the table eggs and toast. Eggs and toast. Eggs and toast. A little milk, a little juice. And it got so boring. Never Pop-Tarts. Fruit Loops. No, eggs and toast, eggs and toast. Now I'm adult, I look back and I go, Mama Cunningham knew what she was doing. A little carb, a little protein. There you go. You'll be good every day. A little carb, a little protein. At night, similar meals, ones that we did over and over. I'd swallow my vegetables whole, eat the other things that she would put on there week after week. Every now and again, we'd have an exciting meal, a different kind of food. But most of the time, it was just daily bread. And here I am, barely healthy, happy. Mama Cunningham was doing her job. The church is the same. Not all the time exciting meals, eggs and toast. I mean, I'm doing my best, but this is not up to me. If it's true, Hebrews 10, let us consider, then whether I have a reviving sermon or a stinky one, you should have benefit because you've come with an expectation to be an instrument of grace. You've considered how you may this day spur someone else on to love and to good works. So I forget. I forget. So show up and help me remember. Number two, the church reminds me that I'm not alone and it keeps me from being alone. Church reminds me I'm not alone. It keeps me from being alone. If I'm away from church, I'm with myself, and that's never good. I don't need this is a thought that comes when we see the mess and we point the fingers, not understanding that we're part of the mess. And when I'm away, I begin to think, I don't need this, and then eventually that turns into, I don't need you. And Satan has us right where he wants us, right? We're vulnerable. How many are fans of National Geographic? I enjoy it. It's fun. I know you just want to see one animal eat another one. That's why we're all watching. What do you see about the predators? What do you notice when they come upon the best meat source God has given to Africa? What, the zebra? Why are, I mean, they are always getting chased down, or the antelope, I don't know, whichever one. But how do you see the predators? They come into just this field of zebra. But what do? They single one out, right? They surround. It could be 1,000 of them. 999 would be running one. They don't even care. They're going after the one. And when they get the one in isolation, the game is over. It's the same with the church. Don't assume that you can do this alone because you cannot. And even the leading of that thought puts you in a position where you are assuming more on yourself than what you can handle. The church was given so that you wouldn't be alone and you wouldn't feel alone and it would keep you from being alone. What's the one description that God has given most concerning the people, His people, the church? It's the one that is most describes the people of God. Sheep. Sheep. Consider that for a moment. Sheep. What do we know about sheep? I'm no shepherd in the animal sense. But sheep, they're not really smart. They wander. Did you know a sheep, if he falls over, can die because he can't get up? If he's on his own, most likely he's going to die. A sheep needs a shepherd. A sheep is part of a herd. The call for the church is to see the value of togetherness in the mystery and the mess. and to say, I'm not going to pull back. I'm not going to assume more on myself. It's not going to be just me and Jesus and the MP3. I need relationship, and so I will enter in. The church, friends, was formed by Christ, not us. It's not our idea. And God made you, and He saved you, and He knows what's best for you. And His desire is that you would not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but that you would engage with His church. Jesus also said that He'll never leave His bride. Perish the thought that I would. Perish the thought that at some point I would have such a low view of the bride of Christ that I'd leave it. Lord, keep us. And number three, the church is key to my spiritual maturity. So my growth is not an individual thing. It is very much a community project. Let me highlight one verse, 1 Peter 4:10. This is astounding. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. That's encouraging. This is what's astounding. As good stewards of God's varied grace. That's astounding. How is David Cunningham going to experience the grace of Christ? Yes, in my personal worship times, of course. But more substantially and more clearly, it's going to be as you value yourself as a steward of grace and you're seeking to live that out with the church. Make the connection. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. That's wonderful, but this is amazing. As God's stewards of, as stewards rather, of God's varied grace. I'm a steward of grace. How's your management? How's your management? We were to do an inventory on this wondrous call that God's given you to be an instrument of His grace. What would the inventory say? Are we considering? Are we expecting as we arrive? This is in the good times and in the bad. Think about it like a marriage. How many of you in your first years of marriage said something like this? Man, I never knew how selfish I was till I got married. I know I did. How many things are revealed when you get into a relationship with someone else? Things that you didn't see, things you didn't know, things that needed improvement and growth. Man, it's hard. You don't necessarily want to see it, but you're a better person now than you were when you got married. You just see it. It's the same way with relating to others and being in relationship. Things are revealed about me as I'm relating to others. I don't necessarily like, but it's key to my maturity. It's key to my growth. The idea of me growing on my own just doesn't fit within the biblical framework of what it is to be part of Christ's body. It is a community project. And as I'm relating in my community groups and all the other little opportunities, the women's group, I'm beginning to see things. Things are affirmed. Things are revealed, and I'm growing. I'm coming to God. I never knew that I was as judgmental as I am. And I'm just seeing it, even as I relate to this person. I'm thinking I'm better. Look at them. How they get in that condition? No, I'm not. All these things are being revealed, and I'm growing. My commitment to the local church is no less than my commitment to Christ. Screwtape, later on, wrote Dear Wormwood concerning this project, this Christian. And he said, Dear Wormwood, you mentioned casually in your last letter that the patient has continued to attend one church, and only one, since he was converted. May I ask what you're doing? Do you realize that unless it is due to indifference on his part, it is a very bad thing? Surely you know that if a man can't be cured of church going, The next best thing is to send him all over the neighborhood looking for the church that suits him until he becomes a taster or a connoisseur of churches. The search for a suitable church makes the man a critic where his Lord wants him to be a learner. So pray, bestir yourself and send this fool around the neighborhood to churches as soon as possible. Man, how tempting it is to have a consumer-oriented approach, isn't it? Of course, you need to resonate with the church you attend. You need to be on board with how they sing and what they teach and all those things, but the real call is that I would hunker down with a group of people as my family, and I would see Christ work in and through us for His sake, our own growth, and His glory in this world. And that's the beauty of the church, that God in our mess would bring mystery, and that there'd be many moments that together we might experience Him in fullness and then persevere when the mystery just doesn't seem to be there. So let me conclude this way. Do you think of reasons to not go to church? And if so, I want to turn your mind to actually thinking about reasons to go. And that you would make that a project for you and your family this week. That there'd be a moment, a time where you saying, why actually am I going, and are these biblical reasons, and how can I bring my family, those around me, into an influence of this? I still say to my family from time to time, now they're kind of spread out, some are in college and other things. We have a family text still group, but when we're all in the home, on Saturday, especially Sunday morning, I'd say, it's the best day of the week. It's the best day of the week. You get to go and you get to buy without money, without cost. You get to go to the storehouse that God has granted you and take what you need to see His sufficiency for your lack. And He's paid the price for it. It's the best day of the week. So this week, would you consider that? Would you consider not reasons I might not go, but reasons to go? And that you would build the case in your own heart and in the heart of your family, and that we might, in the mystery and the mess, come with an expectation. Lord, help us. Let's pray.